So we'll present this work titled as CFS, Shared Cloud Backed File System. This is a joint work with some students and some colleagues from the University of Lisbon in Portugal. Okay. Cloud backed storage systems provide a convenient way to access the virtually unlimited capacity of cloud storage services, like, for example, Amazon S3. Okay. These systems can broadly be divided in two classes. Actually, probably there's more, but I want to highlight here two classes. The first one is the personal storage services like Dropbox or OneDrive or other systems. There's a lot of services like that. In which you have a local software that interacts with your local file system, and this software interacts with some specialized service like the Dropbox backend, and this orchestrates your use of cloud storage services. And there is also other systems like which I call cloud backed file systems, in which you mount usually a user level file system that gives you access directly to the cloud backed storage, or to the cloud storage, sorry. These file systems can be mounted either directly by the client, okay, or you can use them based on a proxy, like there's a lot of storage gateways that give you this kind of approach. When talking about the state of the art of these services, and in particular for cloud backed storage services, what happens is that when you use a proxy, you usually have the limitation that this proxy is a single point of failure. Of course, you can deal with that with careful replication and all these techniques we are aware, but this complicates the design. Then we have that the systems that mount directly that directly access the cloud service, they provide little or no support for controlled file sharing. Basically, you access the cloud, you issue REST commands to the Amazon S3, and you read blocks or read objects and write objects, and that's it. If two clients want to access or to write the same object or the same file, you may have problems, and that's your problem. And finally, a third limitation that all these systems have is that they assume that the cloud provider is always correct and always available for you, okay? And so they require completely trust on the provider. And we want to provide a file system or a design for a file system that copes with all these three limitations. Basically, this system, which is called SCFS, has the following distinguished features. First, that it's completely or mostly based on the client side, so we want to use the clouds as they are. We are not assuming special features on each of these cloud storage services or the computing service that we use sometimes. It allows the controlled sharing of the files you have, and this sharing is both will be both in terms of access control and concurrence control. It allows each user to pay for the files it creates. So I can use several accounts, and we try to exploit the access control models on the cloud storage to share these files using the different accounts and make each client pay for what it uses. And finally, and probably most important, it provides a strong consistency if you want, and allow you to use redundant cloud services for improved dependability. Okay, I try to go briefly on the SCFS design. And basically, I'll try to give you this overview through our set of design choice. First thing, in terms of data layout and access pattern, we assume that, or we made each file be an object. So all the files we store are a single block file. It means that this is not useful for big data systems. It's for desktop applications and files that goes up to, I don't know, 30 megabytes or 50 megabytes. It creates a new version of the file each time you write on the cloud, and employs this principle of always write and avoid reading. The idea here is that cloud providers are eager to receive your data, so you can write for free because uploads are free, but when you read, you pay for the downloading. So our idea is to try to upload the data, the new versions of the data, whatever you want, to the cloud, and avoid reading and try to read only if the version we have locally is not the last version, okay? And that means that we also use a cache, or use several levels of cache. Basically, we assume that, or we try to make all the files that the client access be stored locally, or they have at least a copy locally. It's not the main copy. The master copy will be on the cloud. And we also use a short-lived main memory metadata cache for dealing with bursts of metadata access, because the metadata will be also stored on the cloud, and it takes a lot of time to go on a cloud service. In terms of consistency, we borrow the idea of the consistency on close for Android file system. So the basic idea is that when you read and write, you are reading and write locally, but when you close your file, you go to the cloud. We also offer control of durability and consistency. It means that if you want to have to wait for the file to be written, you can have that. Okay, you can have the guarantees of durability. And if you don't want to do that, you can do that in background. Okay, and you also use locks to avoid write-write conflicts. And finally, we employ what we call a modular coordination. It means that, as in many file systems, we try to separate data and metadata, but we store the metadata on a coordination service like ZooKeeper. Okay, so the basic idea here is that we use the storage cloud as they are, like S3, Windows Azure Blob Storage, and things like that, and we use something like ZooKeeper to store the metadata and control logs. And then the architecture will be something like this. Okay, you have a bunch of cloud providers that offer you storage cloud services, and you have some computation clouds that can be, even if you don't want to use the cloud, you can put this coordination service to run on your own machines, but you need some computation servers or some VMs to run the replicas of your coordination service. Like I said, one single feature of this system is the ability to provide consistency. And for this, we introduced a technique called consistency anchor. And the basic idea here, and the basic problem we want to address, is how to provide strong consistency on top of weakly consistent storage clouds, okay? Because Amazon S3 and other services like that, they don't provide strong consistency. Or they provide some strange guarantees that sometimes can be considered consistent or not. But anyway, so the basic idea here is that you have this big storage service with a lot of capacity. And then we will have the consistency anchor, which in our case, is the coordination service. And we devised an algorithm, which is actually quite simple, that allow you to have the following property. The composite storage that you are building will offer exactly the same consistency guarantee that the consistency anchor provides. In the paper, we discussed this algorithm, and there's a companion technical report in which you prove this property. But the basic idea here is to show you how this works with SCFS, okay? Consider that you have this program, this basic program that I'm manipulating a file called X. And in this case, when I try to open this file, what a system do is to go to the coordination service, discover what's the last version of this file, and fetch it from the cloud provider, the storage cloud, sorry. Of course, if the file is already on my cache, I don't need to fetch it again, okay? I can use the cached version. And then I read and write this file locally in my main memory, because since I'm dealing with small files, probably most of them can fit in the main memory of the client machine. So the opened files are, we try to keep the open files in the main memory. When I call fsync, I give exactly the same semantics we have for normal file systems. We write it to the local disk. And when I call close, I really write it to the cloud, okay? And then when I write to the cloud, I go to the cloud storage service and create a new version of this file, and then I go to the coordination service and update it to point to the most up-to-date version, okay? So the basic idea here that it works because I'm accessing the coordination service and the cloud backend storage in an opposite order when I read and write. In terms of implementation and evaluation, okay? SCFS, most of our implementation are based on the client side, okay? So we support several backends. For the paper, we consider two backends. The first one is the one based on Amazon, in which I use Amazon S3 and deploy my coordination service on VMs of this provider on EC2. And then there's the cloud of cloud backend, in which I use several storage clouds to write my data, and I deploy the coordination service replicated on several cloud providers, on VMs, on different cloud providers. The system also provides several modes of operation. Up to now, I described the blocking mode, but it also supports non-blocking when you call close, and when you call the close system call, you write the file locally on the disk, but it's pushed to the cloud in background. And there's the non-sharing version in which you don't use the coordination service, so you just use the storage cloud. About this cloud of clouds backend, maybe it's worth to mention a bit more on the details about this. The idea here is that using this kind of technique, you do not require any trust on, or you don't require to trust any single cloud provider individually, okay? It means that SCFS can work correctly as long as less than a third of these cloud providers misbehave. And in practice, what's happening here is that we are using BFT techniques, okay? The coordination service using one of these BFT state machine replication protocols, and the storage on several cloud providers are based on the use of quorum protocols with secret sharing techniques and the razor coding to this, to allow a more efficient use of these providers. Because I don't want to pay four times more if I'm using four clouds, right? Okay, I present you just two experiments we did. The first one is the sharing latency of SCFS, of the different versions of SCFS, when compared with Dropbox. Of course, Dropbox is a quite different system, so I don't want to say here we are better or worse than Dropbox. It's just to give you an idea of how much time these systems take to do these things, and what we are doing are not much worse than what they have. So the basic idea here is that we have one machine in which I'm closing the file, one file, and other clients will be trying to read this file continuously. When the client succeeds in reading the file, it sends an UDP packet to the first client, and the client knows that the second client was able to read the file, okay? We do the same thing with Dropbox, and the results are something like this. First thing you can see here, there are the several versions. NB is for non-blocking, B is for blocking, COC is for the cloud of clouds using multiple cloud providers, and so on. Okay. First thing you can see here is that using multiple cloud providers doesn't make my system much slower or much faster than using a single cloud provider. In this case, Amazon. Okay, Amazon is neither the fastest cloud provider for us, nor the worst. So you can see that it's not difficult to, it's not so bad when you use several of these cloud providers. Actually, in some cases, it's even better. And another interesting thing that you can see here is that when you use the non-blocking version, you actually wait more to know that the other client was able to read your file, okay? This, in principle, this appears to be something completely nuts, but in fact, what happens is that if I'm using the blocking version of the system, when the file closes and the close return to the application, the file is already in the cloud, okay? So it took, what happens here is that the non-blocking version, the latency I have is the latency for writing and reading. And the latency that I have when I use the blocking version is just the latency of reading this file, okay? And the second experiment were a bit harsh for the this kind of system, but we did it anyway to show how it works. We tried to trace what happens when you open, save, and close a file on OpenOffice Writer. And we got all these operations and tried to replay this or to do some benchmark that verifies how different versions of the system works with this in this scenario, with this workload. And here you can see that for the non-blocking version, it's not so bad. Maybe it's a bit, but you are accessing the cloud, so it's not so bad. It's not so bad. But when you are using the blocking version, you can see that since there is a lot of operations that we are doing, especially when you do save, you can see that we are doing more than 25 file system operations. You can wait up to, I don't know, 15 seconds for a save to complete, okay? If you we try to investigate what's happening inside of these traces, and we understood that most of these calls were about log files, okay? They are not dealing with the document itself that we want to write, but with local files that this, the OpenOffice creates to ensure that two applications on the same machine will not be modifying this file. If we get this file, since they are used to implement locking only in the local machine, and put them on the local file system, we'll have a huge drop in the sense that for the non-blocking version, the system is almost as efficient as a local file system. And for the non-blocking version, we improve things a lot here. But still, we have a lot of, it's still a lot of time, okay? The main message here is that if these applications want to use a file system like that, with blocking guarantees, with consistency guarantees and durability guarantees associated with this, or strong durability guarantees associated with the POSIX calls, we have to modify these applications, okay? Just as a curiosity, it takes almost 8 seconds to write the file or to save a document in OpenOffice, but we are doing here more than 11 cloud-of-cloud writes, so it appears to be a lot of time, but there are some reason for that. And last, I want to show you the cost of running this kind of service. Okay? The first cost we have is to run the coordination service. First thing, basically you have to pay for the VMs you are using. When we use the cloud of clouds in different providers, we pay a bit more than use everything inside of EC2. And this happens because some providers are more expensive than others. In the papers, we give more information about this. And then we have on the bottom the cost of running the operations, reading and writing from the clouds. And in this case, this is only the cost of executing the operation. So it's bandwidth and the cost of running some operation of accessing some service on the provider. Okay? You can see that the read is more expensive and it's dependent on the size of the data you are sending. But the write is constant and very cheap. So this supports our idea that we can write whatever we want and we can, but for reading, we have to be careful. One thing that I didn't mention that we have also a garbage collector that keeps deleting old versions of files that you don't want. And the delete is also for free. Okay, because most providers don't charge you for deleting files. And finally, since it's a storage service, one important thing is the cost of storing. When you use the cloud of clouds setup, which the four cloud providers, you pay 50% more. And this is instead of paying 3 times or 4 times more. And this happens because we are writing the data only on 3 of the 4 clouds. And on each of these clouds receives only half of the data, okay, of the total size of the data, because we use eraser codes for improving it. Okay, to wrap up, so SCFS is a cloud-backed file system that can be used for backup, disaster recovery, and sharing data. And it was particularly developed for sharing data in a controlled way using the clouds. Two key design principles here is to always write and avoid reading, to try to exploit the charging model for the clouds, and strong consistency. And our experience so far is that multi-cloud replication is feasible. And if you don't want to trust a single any cloud provider, this may be a case for using BFT, provided that you can have an implementation of that. And this is currently being employed for sharing metadata among biobanks in Europe. It's not in operation, but it's being integrated on this application.
Faye from North Carolina State. Interesting work. I have a question about the caching part.
Yeah.
So what percentage of the file are you actually caching in your local storage? The second question is, I've come across a caching module for Linux kernel. It's called FS Cache. Is there any similarity or anything you can share, compare with FS Cache with your cache framework? Thank you.
Sorry, I didn't say FS Cache.
Linux FS Cache is a kernel module,
okay.
Which use local files to cache network attached files.
Okay. What happens here is that if you are using this, what reaches the file system, it's, bypasses the Unix cache and goes directly to the fuse driver, okay, of the file system. So every one of these layers of, or these caches I mentioned, are implemented inside of the fuse driver, inside of the virtual file system that is below the VFS cache.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, compare, you know, any difference between your cache module or cache framework with the existing FS cache? It's available for every Linux kernel. It's just disabled
I think,
there.
I guess what's happening with VFS cache is that it's right to, it's written to, it's the data on VFS can go to the disk every time or sometimes, but you don't control. The file system defines that, or the file system or the kernel controls that. In this case, your data will only go to the cloud when it calls close. If you don't call close, it will never.
Yeah, that comes to my second question. What percentage do you cache the file? Do you cache entire repository?
Entire files. The idea is to have all the files that you use locally.
So it's similar to a Dropbox service.
Exactly.
You have everything cached.
Okay. The only difference is that you don't directly deal with these files. You go through them. Only the fuse driver modify these files and manage these files.
So it's more like a backup service for your local
more
files.
More or less, but the master copy is on the cloud.
Okay. Thank you.
One more question?
No.
Okay.
No. Thanks.